Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. Good to see your smiling faces. Even though you had to come out through the cold, cold, windy day, and as Pastor Brian already said, glad that you made it here. It's good to worship our good God together. Well, we are in the midst of a series on being a member. I am a member. And as Pastor Crick warned you, we are working on a memory verse to help us think about that, meditate on that from God's Word. And so let's work on that together. We'll say it once with the words, and then we'll give it a go. You guys ready? Okay. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Romans 12:5. Ready? I'm not. No. Let's do it. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Romans 12:5. Good job. You guys are ready, I think, for the candy challenge. But keep practicing and keep meditating on it. As a reminder, we are going through this series, and we've been going over different responsibilities and looking at how we can make the church healthy. And so Pastor Crick asked last week, how would you judge People's Baptist Church? And we want the church to be healthy. We want to continue to push that. And so how are you doing? How did you do this last week at being gospel-centered and gospel-saturated? To be frank, did you think of Jesus Christ's death on the cross this last week? And if so, was anything different as a result of that? And then, how have you been thinking and praying and working to promote unity rather than disunity? It was a pretty sobering to see that disunity is something that God abhors. It's an abomination. And how have you been doing it being humble? Are you viewing yourself as God views you? All of these things are a part of promoting a healthy church. So let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to continue to work in us at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this good day that You have given us. Thank You that we have the opportunity and ability to come together. Lord, I ask that You would be gracious. Would You help us to come to You to change, to be changed, and that You would work through me to be a accurate representative of You, and that through this, Your name would be glorified. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, Pastor Crick, Pastor Brian has been referencing this quote or a summary of an idea, and it's important to come back to it. My understanding of what the church and church membership is will shape my life, my living, and my church. So I've got a question. How do you, or someone that you know or love, how do you or they primarily think of church? You know, some people can think that church is where you go to learn information. But what happens then when you think that you've learned enough? You stop going to church. What about if church is the place where you get a better sort of morals, a better set of morals? Well, when you think your morals are good enough, you don't need to go to church. What about maybe this? Church is where you go to be with good people, to get away, get a break from those sinful people. Yes, ha ha, ha ha. We know that's not true. And what happens then when people in the church sin against you? Yeah, you stop going because they are a part of the problem. Or maybe you or someone that you know would say, church is secondary because of my personal relationship with Jesus. That is, I love the church, I love Jesus, but not the church. Church is where people go and they argue about what the Bible says. Or the church is full of hypocrites. You don't need the church, you just need Jesus. These people think, in one way or another, that the church is not essential. So what about you? If I were to come up to you right now, maybe not right now because everyone's watching, and asked you, do you think that the church is essential? What would you say? And I think a lot of us will go, yeah, it is. Let me ask you this. Why is it essential? Why is the church essential? Well, the church is essential. Let me just start with that. The church is essential because God made it essential. That is, God has designed those who come to know and grow Him, grow to do so through church community. And so today we're going to focus on some important aspects of why the church is essential. That is, membership comes with community. We don't want to just learn things. We want to be interconnected. And so I'm going to invite you and challenge you to participate in community. And first, participate in community because of God's forming a people. That is, God has been working to create a people and not just working to redeem individuals. Or to say it a slightly different way, the gospel has more intended effects than individual salvation. The gospel, as we often hear it, is definitively true, but when we think about the results of salvation from an individualistic approach, we think, I am made right with God, I should relate to one another, and it's all because each person has an equal standing before the cross. And so, since no one is better or worse, we hate it when people act as if they are superior and show partiality. You know, there's an example of this in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus is eating with people that are called sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees come up to him and say, why are you doing that? Implying that he shouldn't be eating with them. And just like, oh, you're not better than them. You're a sinner too. But there's actually a passage like 1 Corinthians 5:11. Paul says this, now I have written to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is a sexually immoral person, or a greedy person, or an idolater, or an abusive person, or a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a person, not even to eat with them. There's a similar thing in Acts chapter 11, when Peter comes back to Jerusalem from meeting with Cornelius, and people there say, or they take issue with him, and they say, you went to men who were uncircumcised and ate with them. This is something that we're not used to, but is helpful to bring up when we to set a basis for church community. The Pharisees, Paul, and Peter are all debating on who should eat with whom. They aren't simply talking about whether a person is good or not. And this isn't just eating near someone. Doesn't mean like, oh, I'm a Christian, now I need a 10-foot bubble, I need a COVID bubble, and make sure I'm not going to be anywhere near those sinful people. No. This is something called table fellowship. Table fellowship is a way of affirming someone as part of the people of God, the people with a covenant relationship with God. That is, table fellowship is to affirm a covenant member in good standing. And you know what? Up until Jesus came, you had to be a law-observant Jew to be deemed a covenant member in good standing. But the gospel was good news because it meant that, number one, all individuals could receive forgiveness for their sins. No matter how sinful they could be, they could find forgiveness in God. And then second, all individuals could join God's covenant community. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "The mystery which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." What's that mystery? This: that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. The gospel is meant to do more than save a person from their sins. It is meant to create a special people. In the Old Testament, God created a people from a group of slaves. He delivered Israel from Egypt. But in the New Testament, God is creating a people-less people. That is, a people that have absolutely no natural reason to be associated with one another. They have a supernatural relationship, that is Christ. And so God is not simply content to save you from your sins. He wants to be in a personal relationship with you, and he wants that also to find its fitting conclusion or its fitting place in a community, a people who love God and love you. And so the reason for that is because personal formation develops within community. It is, God has created a people. God has created us to be a people. But why would he do that? What's the big deal about being a part of a people? Well, first I want you to think about siblings. Most of you have siblings. Siblings are those people who you can strangely feel the strongest about. You can hate their guts for something they do. And then you can also punch someone else in the gut if they point that out to you. You're like, no, that's my brother. That's my sister. Or think about the way where you can be in a different place and you can meet someone who knows your hometown, where you grew up. You can feel a connection to that person just because they know a shortcut to get around traffic or a really good place to get pizza. Like, what's the deal with that? Why would that matter? Or think about if you are in a foreign place with a foreign person or foreign people and you're facing homesickness. We feel a bond with someone just because they speak our language. Just because they're like, yeah, that food's really weird. I found a burger joint though. And you're like, oh, hallelujah. We can feel a bond, an irrational weight to people that we identify with as our people. And that's because a person's community will define and shape who that person will be. You will create not only bonds with the people in your community, you will also create strong bonds for what is important in community. Our society is a little weird about this. You know, they like to emphasize the individual. Let the person decide and believe whatever they want. Let them follow their heart. And they're even doing this, saying, with your children. For instance, there are some people who choose not to give their child a name because they want the child to name themselves. Okay, Shakala Kala. Nice to meet you. Or don't give your child a gender, let them choose it. Don't give your child a worldview, let them choose it. But this isn't normal, and really, they are trying to do the very thing they're telling you not to do. But community is meant to shape and form us. God made people to be shaped in relationship. That is one's community. And so community will define what and who is worthy. You know, like a kid will see through all of the facade. If you say that church is really important, but you really get excited and riled up for the Super Bowl, then, oh, I guess that is what is worth celebrating. What that person is doing with the Super Bowl or with hunting or whatever else is they are worshiping it. The child will look at what, or anyone will look at, what do they celebrate? What do they scowl at? What do they struggle for? All of these things will form them. And specifically, worshiping with a people is formative. Human gatherings, such as gathering for worship, decisively shapes the moral imagination. We do not generate our understanding of the world by individual reflection, contrary to what our society would like to say. It is here that the community declares who Yahweh is and what Yahweh has done, and thus finds an identity for itself. That is, not that the community gets to decide who God is, but for that individual, their idea of God is shaped through worship. God has designed you and me to be shaped through the church. God has designed you to be changed by a church that is gospel-centered and gospel-saturated. So that's who your people should be, but who are your people? Who do you feel like gets you? Or who do you get? Or who do you want to associate with? Or who do you not want to associate with? Or maybe you're someone who said, I don't really want a people. I'm going to try to pull myself up by my bootstraps and make life work on my own. Or maybe you said, I don't want a people because people are awful. I tried to be with people and they just hurt me. You may think that a different people may be good, more helpful. But that is not how God made you. God intends for you to know him better by participating in his community with his people. God has done a special work of salvation to create a peculiar, that is, holy people. And so, I hope you see that the church, as a community, needs to be part of your life. But how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to invest. They say it takes 319 hours of purposeful interaction to create a meaningful association. That's not even a good friend or a best friend bond. So at a very basic level, you need to invest time. You need to be intentionally investing in getting to know your church body. So, do you think that God's way and God's people isn't worth investing in? He is inviting you into this covenant community. You should participate in community because of God's appointing a people, because of God's forming a people, and because of God's appointing a people. Yes, God has created people who are defined by this salvific work, but he also sets us up as his agents. That is, God graciously places his people to be in a privileged position. Matthew 5 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Then in Philippians it says this, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault. Where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, God intends for us to be a people who have an effect, not just those who have been affected, that is, those who have been saved. God intends us to do so then by representing and reflecting Him. First, God sets us up, He appoints us to be His representatives. But why would God need us to do that? That makes it sound like God needs us. No, God doesn't need anyone or anything. But there's one aspect of God that makes it difficult for us to know Him. He is transcendent. He is invisible. And so God chose graciously to create man and woman as His visual representatives. They and we are created to be the visible representatives of the invisible God. Well, sin broke our relationship and association with Him, but then God worked through a no-name, a nomad, Abram, and then a group of slaves, Israel, to show Himself and to allow Himself to be known in an ongoing, tangible, and definitive way. Israel was the tangible means of knowing God and relating to God. They were given God's salvific work. He redeemed them. He brought them out of Egypt. We have been given a greater salvation. They were graciously given God's divine revelation with the law and the prophets. We have been given a fuller revelation. And they were responsible for representing God as a holy nation. We have been given a weightier responsibility. That is, God has now chosen the church to be the tangible means of knowing and relating to Him. This is a privileged position. You know, really, it's one that doesn't make sense. It's pretty awesome. But it's a weighty position. To accept the gospel is to accept this position and this responsibility. Luke 12 says this, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. We are to be his representative. That is why he saved us. Have you ever met a representative of someone? You know, I think, oh, he's probably someone in like a suit, a $200 haircut, and probably like a Rolex. I haven't met anyone like that. No one comes to me, Caleb, we need to talk to you. No. But you have met a representative at a bank teller, a waitress, a fast food worker. When I was an HVAC technician, my boss would make sure I knew that my actions would reflect back on him. I mean, I did have a uniform, but I didn't think of myself as a representative of Enzer and Sellers, but I was. You know, representatives can be good or bad. That is, the people can be good or bad. The representatives can also be good or bad representations. And the reality is, though, that others identify a person by the representative. And so a good representative cannot merely share the content of their message, they have to embody it. And that's why God is creating a people to reflect Him. Because we represent God, we need to look like Him. But you guys can see the problem. God is lovely and good. Me, not so much. You, even worse. No, I'm just kidding. How do we look like Him? Well, that's why I said reflect Him. Not just be like or follow an example. And the reason is this. God is love. God is just. God is merciful. God is compassionate. God is faithful. We must not just try to be good and try to be loving or try to be just or try to be faithful. Plenty of people try to do that and they don't know God. And they, along with us, they fall short. The way to look like Him is to look to Him and relate to Him. We can be good, loving, just, faithful, compassionate, and more to the degree that we are looking to and relating to Him. Because He is the only one who is by necessity those things. John 15 says something along these lines. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do most things. No. Nothing. Nothing. Do you act as if that is true? Or do you try to do some things? We can try that. But there is something better. And that's good news. We aren't left to our own willpower or virtue or, oh, I'm just going to stick with this clever program that I discovered and I'll become a better person. No. We need to see God rightly and respond. That's why we need to come to church. We need to see God as He's shown in Scripture and then respond. And so knowing God definitively and having His personal activity is the basis for doing what is good and lovely. That's why He says, be holy as I am holy. And why the Apostle John says, we love Him because He first loved us. We see God and then we respond. Then we act. God is creating a people to share and cultivate His desires. That is, we're not just supposed to be like Him. We're supposed to think like Him. We're supposed to desire those things. Well, what's really important to God? Thankfully, we know that from Scripture. Jesus says this in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we are to reflect and represent God, then that means that we need to have the same desires and goals as Him. God's desire is for everyone to love Him and to love others. That means we need to desire everyone to love Him and love others. Did you know that's your responsibility? Did you know that's what you should be working for? The church community, therefore, must promote love for God and for others. And this happens in church community. God's people have the responsibility to reflect Him. So I need to show others what God is like. And others need to show me what God is like. God's people have the ability to reflect Him. I have been given spiritual gifts. I can be enabled and empowered by God to help others to grow. Others have been given spiritual gifts and enabling and empowerment to help me to grow. I need you, and you need me. Not only that, God's people must struggle with each other to reflect Him. I need to struggle alongside you, alongside others who don't look like Jesus. And others need to struggle alongside me as I don't look like Jesus. I need you, and you need me. And people must share with each other to reflect Him. You need to share your very life. And I'd encourage you to share a meal. The third thing is participate in community because God's people experience God. You see, God's people have been the locus of experiencing God's presence and favor. In the Old Testament, this was through the tabernacle and the temple. If someone wanted to know God, if someone wanted to worship God, they would come to the temple. This was the place where God's personal presence resided. How that can be coincided with God being everywhere, I don't know. You can talk to Pastor Crick afterwards. He knows everything. Now, the church is God's temple. 1 Peter 2 says this, "You also, as living stones, are being built up into a temple. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God did not just make an association, He made a people. God didn't even just make a company with employees. He chose to make a people. He chose to make a people with a covenant, a personal commitment. And that makes sense because relating to God is not just cognitive, but interactive and experiential. And this is why coming into a covenant relationship, it's fitting to share a meal with it. Exodus 24:3 says this. This is in the context of the Israelites affirming and making a covenant with God at Mount Sinai. And look what happens. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." So they saw God and they ate and drank. Obviously, God doesn't eat, but there's a sense in which they share a meal. God allows them to do this. A meal is a sign of intimate connection. That is, there is something surprisingly powerful about the simple idea of sharing a meal together. If someone's going to go on a date, we almost universally expect them to have some food. And if you were to think of one family event that should take place, it'd be cool if it was once a day, what would you think of? A family meal. When was the last time you experienced a good meal with good company? You better say, you know, if you're with your family, you're like, oh, every day. Oh, yeah. God's covenant community is meant to be that. Not just share the same ideas, but share our lives with one another. And a fitting way to do that is over a meal. But God will not eat with those who are opposed to him. Matthew 9 says this, and this is the same passage that I referenced in the beginning. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus, when he hears this, said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus will only be intimate with humble sinners. We are all sinners. But if we want to know God and experience his goodness and favor, that will only come in the context of being a humble sinner. That it is not where you are, but where you are headed. And so, if you really want to grow closer to God, well, be humble, as Pastor Crick mentioned last week. But participate and commit to the church community. And if you really want to grow closer to God, find someone who looks like Jesus and share a meal with them. And find someone who doesn't look like Jesus and share a meal with them, all with the purpose of saying, "Hey, let's be more like Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, this time, and this body of believers, those who in one way, shape, or form have recognized that there is value in gathering together, that there is something good and worthwhile in knowing you, not just knowing more about you just over the internet or even in our own personal Bible reading, that there is something good and beneficial and lovely about knowing you in a covenant community. And Lord, that's because we do. We want to look more like Jesus and less like me or anyone else here, Lord. Help us to be more fully committed to that idea, to be more committed to struggle alongside one another, more committed to desiring and hoping and planning and working that others, not just myself, that others would look like you, that others would see how good you are. Lord, would you also be working to enable us, empowering us? Lord, we cannot do it on our own. And so we ask you to work in our lives, to work through the church body so that we can grow and so that others who don't know you may taste and see that the Lord is good. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.